Okay, let's get right to it. Hour number two, and there's a lot going on with regard to Zika. This is a story that Dr. Henry Nyman has been talking to us about for quite some time, and it's beginning now to spread in Florida. It's in the mosquitoes there, and guess what? It has been traced to the GMO mosquitoes that were released after being GMO'd to help reduce the indigenous population. And now they're carrying Zika. Not a good sign. We'll find out more about that. Here's the latest. At least 41 American service members, men and women, including one pregnant woman, have been diagnosed with Zika virus while on active duty overseas. This came from the Pentagon today. The Pentagon also said that 7 family members of those servicemen and women have also contracted the virus, which usually leads to mild symptoms but can cause, as you know, severe birth defects in children and has been linked to paralysis in rare cases. This suggests human-to-human transfer, although people aren't wanting to go there very much yet. We'll find out what Henry has to say. Henry is the founder of Recombinomics.com, has been with us for many, many years. He is a world-class, I think he's the best virologist in the world in terms of his expertise, his ability to explain things, and his willingness to come on this program and share his knowledge and help us all understand the dangers we face. Hello, Henry.
Hello, Jeff. It's good to be back, and it's a kind of a timely.
Special report tonight. So let's go to it. Take it away.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit that's happened. I mean, the last report was almost 2 weeks ago, and at that time, there had been a case that appeared to be a local transmission in Miami. And then actually literally hours before that interview on Thursday night, it was announced that there was a second case, and that was in Broward County, which is just north of Miami-Dade County, where Miami is.
Right.
Fort Lauderdale is kind of the biggest city in Broward County. So basically back then, 2 weeks ago, there were two cases. Prior to those two cases, there had not been any confirmed local transmission that implicated mosquitoes. Just as a quick reminder, you know, the concern is for the Zika virus, and the Zika virus is an arbovirus, that's an insect virus, and is carried by mosquitoes. Aedes aegypti is the most well-known carrier. There's many different species of mosquitoes, but Aedes aegypti has been implicated in the spread of this virus, as well as several related viruses, which include other flaviviruses like dengue and chikungunya, as well as yellow fever virus. All of those viruses are carried by the Aedes aegypti. And, you know, your comment about GMO, that is the reason GMO targeting is with Aedes aegypti. That frankly has nothing to do with the spread in Florida. It had nothing to do with the spread in Brazil. It actually kills the mosquitoes, and it doesn't do anything to enhance the spread of Zika. But in any event,
I just meant to suggest that it was apparently someone's idea that they were carriers, even though they're GMO'd and they're sterile.
Right, and that was kind of the same thing was presented in Brazil. The trial with GMO was actually done several years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was to get rid of the virus because it was carrying dengue. And so they were trying to get the dengue under control in Florida, and there was one trial that was done several years ago. Those engineered mosquitoes basically give rise to offspring that die very quickly, and so the engineering actually kills those mosquitoes. And the Aedes aegypti has a range of about 400 feet or 400 yards, maybe, but it's a very short distance.
Uh-huh.
And And the release was, I think, in the Florida Keys, you know, nowhere near Miami. And so, you know, even if those mosquitoes had survived, they would not be flying into Miami or Fort Lauderdale. And the same thing was in Brazil, that the release of the GMO mosquitoes was several years before the outbreak in Brazil and quite a distance away. So the concern is really not so much the local mosquitoes. The concern is the Zika virus, which then can get to the local mosquitoes. So prior to 2 weeks ago, there had been almost 2,000 cases in the U.S. of people that were affected with Zika, but virtually all of those cases were people that had traveled to an area where there was active transmission of the Zika. So the mechanism is they would go to the Caribbean or South America or to Central America. They would get bit by a mosquito that was infected with Zika. That would transfer the virus to that traveler, who would then return to the U.S. and develop symptoms and be tested and found to have the Zika virus. And so the concern was that eventually one of these travelers would come back to the U.S., would get bit by a local mosquito, in all likelihood an Aedes aegypti mosquito in the United States, and then that mosquito would be infected with the virus and then would bite another person or persons, and that those people would then be infected locally. Now, prior to 2 weeks ago, there had been no documented case of local transmission by mosquitoes. There had been some local transmissions of people that didn't travel who had sexual contact with a traveler who had returned with the virus. And so that was another mechanism. You could get local transmission from person to person that would involve a mosquito and would involve travel. And there were actually two other mechanisms. One was a lab worker that had a needle stick that had Zika, and that person in Pittsburgh actually got infected with Zika. And then there was a relative of a fatal case who had like 100,000 times the level, and the relative ended up getting infected while caring for his father, actually. So those were the only local transmissions were human to human. There have been no demonstrations of transmission by mosquito. And so 2 weeks ago, it was kind of suggested that these people were infected locally by a mosquito, but you know, it was early in the investigations. Now, it turned out that the first case that was in Miami had actually been confirmed like 4 days before it was announced. And so that was one indication that there's a problem here. Usually they're not delayed like that. And the announcement came less than 24 hours before the second case in Broward County. So, you know, clearly the investigators were well aware of the second case, and the second case probably precipitated the announcement of the first case. And I had always said that if there were going to be local cases, the first local cases would end up being some type of a cluster, because it was very hard to get tested for Zika in the United States.
Right, you did say that. I remember.
Unless you were a traveler. Mm-hmm. And so to have local transmission, you know, the first question they would ask if you had symptoms, he said, you know, have you been out of the country in the last several weeks? And if you said no, then, you know, it would be very hard to get to get tested for Zika. But if there were a couple cases, they had obvious symptoms, and probably if they were in southern Florida, that would increase the likelihood that they could get tested. So these two cases were tested and they were positive. And there was a bit of a delay in any further information. The Florida Department of Health basically said that, you know, we had two cases, we're investigating, and, you know, there was some concern because the investigation shouldn't take that long. I mean, question number one is, you know, have you been out of the country in the last several weeks? If the answer to that is no, then question number two is, have you had sexual contact with somebody who might have been infected, possibly who had themselves gone out of the country? And if the answer to that is no, then, you know, it looks real likely that it's the mosquito. It kind of sat there. You know, as you may know, I've been mapping these cases in the various states, and in this case, you know, I was especially interested in where these two cases were, and local media would have reports on these cases because they were alerted that there was either Miami-Dade mosquito control or Broward County mosquito control were in the area spraying for mosquitoes. And in these cases, they weren't just spraying for mosquitoes. They were literally going house to house and asking for urine samples. And so they were trying to confirm whether there were, and they were collecting mosquitoes. Now finding Zika in mosquitoes is difficult because by the time you find out there's a case, the mosquito that was involved has probably died. And in many cases, in many instances, these cases end up dead-ending. So that you may have somebody that was bit by a mosquito, but unless you can kind of keep that process going where that mosquito can bite several people and get several people infected that can be bit by other mosquitoes and get more mosquitoes infected, most of the time, in the early stages, there won't be, you know, an expanded number of cases, or at least not easily found cases, or even more difficult to find the virus in the mosquito. But it's easier to find the virus actually in the people because, like I say, the virus, the mosquito doesn't fly over a long distance. And so if that person had actually been infected near their residence, then you would likely find additional cases by doing surveillance on those cases nearby. And the local media would have film crews out. And usually, if you pay close attention to the film, you could actually identify the neighborhood. And that was possible for the first one in Miami, which was actually in a suburb of Miami, just west of downtown. And it was a suburb called Coral Gables. And that was easily identified because one of the shots actually had the house number of one of the houses, and it had the name underneath the house number, and searching that house number, that name actually identified the house. And you can use Google Maps to actually look at the house, and you can see that, you know, not only was it the right number and the right name, but it had both of those that was in the video. So it's easy to identify where the first case, which is west of downtown. And then the second case that was in Broward County was actually in Fort Lauderdale, and that one was also easy to identify because one of the people interviewed in the film had an unusual name, and it was and they had said that it was in Fort Lauderdale, and it was a little bit west of downtown, and that location was also easily identified. So the first two cases were precisely identified, and they were about 25 miles apart, and so they really indicated that these were two independent infections, unless there was something in common with these people away from their residences. And the next development really took about a week, and it wasn't until last Friday that there was a new announcement And the new announcement was that there were two more cases that were identified. And these two cases were also one in Miami-Dade County and one in Broward County. So now there were four cases of local transmission of people that basically were confirmed to have been infected with Zika and didn't have any history of travel outside of the country and didn't have any known contacts with somebody.
So the authorities had to look right away to mosquito transmission, right? I want to get to human transmission if you think there's anything to that later on.
Right. We'll get to that. But, you know, the main concern was mosquitoes because that's where things can take off. And when they got it up to these four cases, that was followed by a press release from the Florida state issued a press release. And in that one, they actually included a map. And the map indicated that the area of active transmission was in this 1 square mile area just north of downtown Miami. The area is called Wynwood. And it's a area that's popular with artists, with lots of bars and restaurants in the area, and lots of tourists in the area, and they had indicated that they thought that the active transmission was within this 1 square mile area, and that was then followed by a presser by the CDC. And the CDC basically gave some more details, although not quite as much details as you'd want, because they always defer to the local investigation, and they said, you know, it's their understanding, but, you know, you should double-check with Florida to get the details. And the CDC said that there were, there now were four cases, and that they were focused in this region because, quote unquote, two or more of the cases were at their workplace, and there were two distinct workplaces that were very close together. And then they left it open for questions, and one of the reporters said, well, you know, I thought that the two of the cases were in Broward County, which is quite a, you know, 20, 30 miles away from this location. And then they gave kind of part of the explanation, which was, well, they live in Broward County, but this was at the work site. And the two work sites that were identified were very close to each other. And so this was really kind of a statistics type of an argument. It was like, okay, you have these four cases, and it sounded initially like all four of them from the press release out of Florida, that all four of these people had some type of work link to this area, Wynwood. And because two of the locations were very close to each other, it sounded like, you know, that's probably where they were infected because they had that work location in common. And then one of the questions, Don McNeil from the New York Times said, well, are you going to issue a travel warning? And they said, well, no, we're not issuing a travel warning at this time. I said, well, you know, what's the deal here? I mean, when there's local transmission, you issue, you know, outside of the U.S., you issue a travel warning for the entire country.
Of course.
And here, you've got to localize to a 1 square mile area, and you're not even sure whether you're going to issue a travel warning.
So what's going on? What's wrong? What's wrong with these people?
Are you just trying to protect the tourism industry in Florida?
Right.
And the CDC said, no, the situation in Florida is different than the situation is these other countries where we issue the warnings, because in the other countries, it's not that you have one or two cases or even three or four cases of local transmission.
Right.
You have, you know, transmission is essentially out of control, and you would have a much higher likelihood if you go there to get infected than you would in this particular case. And that, but then he added that, you know, we're looking at this on a day-to-day, literal day-to-day basis. And, you know, if we find more cases and there is more evidence of active transmission, then, you know, we would, you know, consider issuing a warning. And this was on Friday, last Friday, and then Monday, 2 days ago, there was another press release. And the press release on Monday said that there were 10 more cases, and that all 10 of these cases were in the Wynwood area. And not surprisingly, the CDC called another, you know, presser, and not surprisingly, the same reporters were there, and they gave an update. And what they said is over the weekend, they had gotten results back on local surveillance. And what they had found was they had 10 more new cases. And of those, 4 of those cases actually worked in the same area where the earlier cases had worked. And they said that of the 14 cases they now had, 12 of the 14 were actually in this very tight area that had a radius of just 150 meters, which is about...
All right, well, what do you... Okay, yards. All right. So what do we make of this? Hold on, we have to take a break, Henry. When we come back, I want Henry to tell us why he thinks this was constricted to such a small area. How can that be? Interesting dynamics. We'll come right back with Dr. Henry Nyman in just a couple of minutes. Stand by. Talking about Zika, you know, it's interesting. I've been getting email, and I appreciate that, from various parts of the country, talking about how there are no more bugs. Some people even report there are no more insects like mosquitoes, which is very encouraging to them and may end up being kind of a backhanded assist in the fight against Zika in some areas. There is a, Henry, I don't know if you know, but there is an extermination event underway with bugs, insects of all kinds moving from British Columbia, northern Washington, Oregon, across the country from Fukushima. This has been going on and gathering steam for the last several years. Some places literally have no more insects, nor are there any more birds. And these are coming from very astute observations and over a wide geographic area. Now, Florida, being the muggy, hot, swampy, moist place it is, will be probably the last area that will be significantly hit by any kind of an extermination. Or an extinction, however you want to phrase it, doesn't matter. But in the meantime, why so many cases popping up in a 150 square meter area? What is your thought on that?
Well, the thought is that... mosquitoes really don't travel that far. That's what I said a little bit earlier.
Yeah, 400 feet or 400 yards.
It's either 400 feet or 400 yards in their lifetime. And so when you get these initial cases and it gets seeded, it's going to be fairly concentrated, and then it's a matter of is it radiating out and from there. And so that's why you may find a very, very tight area, at least initially, when the outbreak is getting started. And like I said, the first two cases of local transmission were the two that were just announced 2 weeks ago. And they've extended it a little bit, saying that they think that, you know, looking at the earliest case, you know, that case could have conceivably been infected as early as the middle of June. And I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the travel warning that they did subsequently issue was for anyone that had been in the area since the middle of June that they should consider themselves to be at risk. And, you know, if they're pregnant or planning on being starting a family, they should definitely get tested to find out whether they have the virus or had the virus. It's a significant concern. And part of the reason it's a significant concern is from the rest of the data that came out on Monday at that press conference. And so what they said is they gave more detail about those 10 cases, those 10 new cases. And for the 10 new cases, four of them actually were people that did work in the area. And wasn't clear whether they were in the same establishment as the first two positives, but they were very, very close. And those people that worked in the area actually were symptomatic. It's not clear if they were symptomatic at the time of the investigation or had symptoms, you know, just prior to that. And as a result, they were tested both for PCR, which tests for the virus itself, and I believe there was actually PCR on serum samples, and then for those that were no longer symptomatic, they also did an antibody test, an IgM antibody, which looks for antibodies against the virus, mm-hmm. which you would have even after you had cleared the virus and A, weren't symptomatic, but B, didn't have enough virus to detect in either the blood or the urine. And so four of the cases were PCR confirmed. That these were symptomatic cases, and they were able to I'm not sure all four, but some of them were PCR confirmed, and some were IgM confirmed, but they were all lab confirmed. And then, in addition to testing the people that worked in the area that actually had symptoms, they then did, you know, one of these door-to-door surveys to get urine samples, because urine, the virus is detectable in the urine with PCR, usually for a slightly longer period. The serum is like 2 to 7 days. The urine can be 2 weeks, and if you're lucky, it can be even 3 or 4 weeks that you can get a positive. And they found six positives by testing the urine, and all six of those cases actually were asymptomatic. And so even though they didn't have symptoms, they were still able to detect the Zika RNA in their urine samples. And, you know, that's a very significant finding, because that doesn't just mean that those people were infected by the virus, but it means that those people were infected by the virus very recently. So if a person had been infected by the virus 3 or 4 weeks prior to giving the sample, they would have tested negative. And so the six positives indicate not only that the virus is in the area, but that the virus was in the area very recently. And
how did it get there? Somebody showed up infected, and a mosquito fed on the person and then took off and fed on somebody else, yeah?
Correct. And right. And like I said, it's an area that's popular with tourists, and it's an area that the six positives were out of 52 that were tested. So it wasn't like they tested 10,000 people or 1,000 people or even 100 people. They only tested 52 people, and they got six positives, and they were all asymptomatic. They actually interviewed one person, and he wasn't quite asymptomatic. He said he felt like he had a cold, so he didn't have a fever. He didn't have the rash. He didn't have
here's a news note you don't know about. The mayor of Miami went on local television news and made a statement about Zika.
He said it's the safest place in the world or something.
Well, not quite, but probably did. I don't have access to the whole thing. But he said 1,000 mosquitoes a day are being tested, but not one so far has been infected with Zika. This is what a resident down there, a journalist, just wrote to me and said. This is the official line there, okay? I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what the mayor said.
Well, that's probably accurate. I mean, that's what I was saying. First of all, there are like hundreds of different species of mosquito. And Culex species is actually the most common. Culex carries West Nile virus, and it actually has been shown to carry Zika in Brazil, but to find that, you know, they basically had a very, very high level of activity there. And so finding the virus in mosquitoes mm-hmm. is a challenge. Mm-hmm. It's not impossible. It can be done. In fact, recently sequences were published from Aedes aegypti mosquitoes in Mexico. So they were able to, in central Mexico, they were able to identify the virus and actually isolate the virus and publish the entire sequence of two different isolates, which were very closely related to the human cases that were identified in central Mexico. So if the infection is you know, going at a very high level where you've got a lot of people infected and you've got a lot of mosquitoes that are feeding on those people, then you can find the virus. But even then, it's not that easy. I mean, they usually look at them in pools, and so they'll look at 8 to 10 mosquitoes, you know, put into one test tube and ground up and extracted, the assay sensitive enough, so if one of those 10 is positive, then they'll get a positive. And when it's at a high level, they can pick those up. But if it's at a level like it is in Miami, the easiest way to detect it is not to collect a lot of mosquitoes, it's to test a lot of people. And
interesting.
And when
okay.
you test 52 people and six of them are positive, and they're positive by PCR, indicated they were infected.
Well,
PCR
doesn't mess around. So they should be testing 1,000 people a day.
Right. If they want to find out exactly where the virus is, they should be, because all of these people were asymptomatic.
Mm-hmm.
So none of these people, even the guy that said he felt like he had a cold, was going to go to a doctor. And so, you know, they weren't going to find them unless they did this type of actually they called it Euro surveillance, because they were just collecting urine samples. So the bottom line was that they actually had 10 new cases, and all 10 cases were in the same 150 meter area, and that area was at the center of that 1 mile rectangle that had been published. Now, after they said that, you know, one of the reporters said, well, you know, can you be more specific on where this, you know, high density, you know, Zika transmission area is?
Sure.
And he says, well, I can't give you the exact numbers, but, you know, you can look at the rectangle, and they're in the center of the rectangle. So, I mean, it's pretty easy to identify exactly where this was. But when he said that, And he also had indicated that, you know, of the 14 cases they had on Monday, 12 of the 14 were within that one area. And so when he said that, that started to raise a little bit of questions as to where the other two were. And initially, based upon the Florida press release, it sounded like the other two were somewhere in that rectangle, but just not in that very tight 150-meter region. But then that didn't really make that much sense, because if they were really somewhere else in that one square mile area, they wouldn't have drawn such a uniform, you know, equal-sided rectangle. It would kind of bulge out a little bit if there was another case that was.
Yeah, I would think. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
And so that raised the possibility that that those two cases that weren't in the rectangle, you know, the small 150-meter rectangle, in fact, weren't in the one square mile rectangle either, and that created a lot of confusion because of the Florida press release. Many who read that were under the impression that all 14 cases were in that one square mile. And the press releases said they continue to believe that all active transmission is in that one square mile. But I ended up getting a message from the Department of Health asking if the other two cases that weren't in the 150-meter rectangle were in the one-square-mile rectangle. And
what'd they tell you? What'd they tell you? We don't know, or they wouldn't tell you?
No, they did. They specifically said they were not in that area. And part of the press release, which was the other clue, was that they said they had investigated two other areas, and they did not find any positives in any of the people that were tested, including contacts of those two cases. And so that really translated into indicating that the first two cases, the one that was in western Miami, as well as the one that was in Fort Lauderdale, were not linked to Wynwood. They were not linked to that area. And the surveillance of people in that area did not come up with a positive. And so this kind of creates a new wrinkle on how, you know, this is how they're described, as well as what you're looking for. Now, in the past, you know, the question was, well, did you travel to another country? If the answer was yes, then they said, well, you know, you're positive, and the reason you're positive is you got infected in that other country. And so they would just mark them down, you know, travel case from X, you know, some country.
Sure.
Now they've got cases that are positive in two locations, but they really don't know where those people got infected, other than, you know, it was in Florida. You know, they've been in Florida, and they might say, well, where were you in the last 2 weeks? And they might say, I was in, you know, in one suburb, in another city, in another city. And so they know they're infected, but they probably didn't get infected in their residence, because they haven't been able to find any additional ones, but they're just kind of hanging out there. But this misconception that the first 14 were all in this one area became apparent on Tuesday, because on Tuesday they had a 15th case. And in the 15th case, they specifically said that this case was not in the Wynwood area, was not in the 1 mile square. And then the media reports that came out said, well, this was the first case that wasn't in the 1 mile square. But in reality, it's the third case. And that's actually what the email said that I got tonight, is that of the 15 cases, only 12 are within the 1 mile square. So now the situation is more complex, because you've got two other people that were locally infected. They had no travel history, no evidence of interactions with other people that might have been infected, but they were unable to find neighbors or other contacts that were positive. And so they don't really know where those two were infected, other than the fact that they were infected somewhere in South Florida, but exactly where it wasn't clear. And then the story kind of evolved even further last night, because there was a media report that there was now a third case in Broward County. And this third case was an area they called
South Ranch.
Ranches.
Yeah.
And that case was then confirmed this morning. So now there are actually four cases that have been confirmed that are outside of this 1 square mile area. But then the media reports that came out last night made the story even more complex, because they cited two additional suspect cases that were in the Fort Lauderdale area. Now the two suspect cases, they haven't really said where they were in Fort Lauderdale. But if you remember, the first case in Broward County was also in Fort Lauderdale. Now, it was negative around the resident that was positive, but that person probably was not in their house exclusively, and they probably went to other areas in Fort Lauderdale. And it now sounds like, if these two suspect cases were confirmed, that there would be three cases in Fort Lauderdale. And so the three cases in Fort Lauderdale would be similar to the original two cases in Wynwood, that you had a couple
of
people.
All right, we've got 3 minutes, Henry. Let's tie this up.
Okay, so the Fort Lauderdale, if that proves to be true, it's going to have a devastating effect on Florida. Because right now they've got a travel warning that's restricted to 1 square mile in an area just north of Miami, downtown Miami. And if this is an indication that there's local transmission in a cluster in Fort Lauderdale, then when they do the same type of surveillance, they'll find that there's several additional people near these other three, whatever these three have in common, or at least two of them have in common, and then they'll have to issue another travel warning.
Uh-huh.
And then it'll be for Fort Lauderdale area and Broward County.
Do people really pay
Miami.
Attention to these travel warnings, Henry? Do we honestly know?
They'll always say at the beginning, there's not been much of an effect. But
right.
In reality, airline stocks basically plunged, I think, 5% on Monday. And because...
Really?
This is...
Yeah.
Yeah. And people that have investments certainly may pay attention, and people that, whose livelihood depends upon the tourist or travel industry certainly pay attention. And, as I had said a while ago, when Pittsburgh and Miami were scheduled to go to Puerto Rico for a series, where Roberto Clemente was from, and they decided they didn't want to go to Puerto Rico because there was Zika, and they were instead going to play the game in Miami. I said, well, that's what they're saying now, but what are they going to say in August when there's local transmission in Miami? Are they going to cancel the games? Are they going to tell people not to come to Miami for the baseball games? Are they just going to play away games? And those are the types of effects that you're going to have. I don't know what they're going to do about baseball games, but this will impact the tourist industry, and especially if it starts to spread, and especially when people realize that if you are pregnant and you do get infected, and if it's in your first trimester, there's a good chance that there's going to be a problem. And down the road, there may be a good chance there's a problem, even if it's in the second and third trimester. It's just not microcephaly. It's some other developmental issue. So the Zika story is a huge story that most of the public doesn't have a good appreciation for, largely because most people that are infected have mild or no symptoms. And the women that are infected that are pregnant, really, you don't see it for 6 to 9 months after they're infected when the baby's born. And so the devastating effects of the Zika infection, you know, are obvious to people who live in Brazil and South, you know, Colombia or Venezuela. But they're not nearly as, you know, apparent to people in the U.S., because it really hasn't started spreading here yet. But there's really no reason to think it's going to be limited to Florida. That there's still a fair number of cases in Texas. More of those cases in Texas are now from people that are coming from Mexico, so it's starting to take off in Mexico. And the best way you can figure out how devastating it is for a given country is how many exports are coming from there. And so most of the cases in New York City actually come from the Dominican Republic. And so if you look on a map, you can see that these areas that are the origin of people coming to the U.S. are getting closer and closer to the U.S. And pretty soon it'll be, you know, the question is, well, did you travel in Florida? Have you been to the Florida in the last 2 weeks if you're in New York City and you've got symptoms? And so it is the type of thing that's going to build. This is a delayed thing. I mean, these cases were infected in early July. It took a month to find out.
Well, as you said, it might be wise to start testing 500 people a day rather than testing mosquitoes.
Yeah. Do that. They're worried about the blood supply, so they're starting to test the blood supply now in all the southern states,
damn well better.
Texas and Florida.
All right.
And
very
there'll
good.
Be more updates in the near term.
Okay, Henry, thank you. Very good information as always. We're watching. Take care.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, and we'll be right back.